Hey, horse girls, it's your weird estranged aunt, PJ Audencia. Little housekeeping update, the audio in this episode is actually fine. That's not what I'm here to do. What I am here to do is to tell you that we're going to take next week off to get caught up on having lives, and the following week, we are going to kick off one last surprise trilogy before this season of Dead Horse wraps up. Because your girls are real people with bills, and we need a break. So stick around for the end of the episode to find out what our last mini-series of the year will be. Will it be the Hangover movies? Will it be the Alvin and the Chipmunk movies? Will it just be three more episodes about the movie Honey 2? Stay tuned and find out. Enjoy the episode. Or don't.
My girl's not dead. It's your real life. It's living on it. God's not dead, he's alive. Living on the inside, Lord, you're alive.
He's your life, he's your life. He's
your life. I mean, we're a film and comedy podcast, so we don't really get political. I do think it's crazy the way they've taken Nissan Altima out of schools. The 2007 Nissan Altima.
Let's take Thanksgiving, for example. We think it's about a multicultural event, when in reality, it was about the passing of Nissan Altimas to the Native American peoples, eradicating their population.
Those pilgrims brought many gifts of enlightenment to those Native Americans that they simply wouldn't have had otherwise, like wonderful Nissan Altimas,
like heated seats, like six cup holders, like removable headrests, and Apple CarPlay compatibility.
Listen, you ask me, what did the Founding Fathers contribute to the lives of, say, indigenous Native Americans? What did they give them? Five words, buddy. Nissan, Honda, Toyota, Ford, and Mercedes. So many different wonderful kinds of car that you, the consumer, can drive in this country, and that's what they want to take away from you.
There's so many moments where you can just score like the easiest half-lidded dunks. When Pastor Dave said, "I've got friends from far off countries like China, Iran, Africa."
Stop. I didn't even notice that. Oh my god, that's so embarrassing.
It's not even like Pastor Jude doesn't name check the country he's from. He's from Nigeria.
He literally is like, it's a full ass country. Like,
and then he lets us know how much everyone over there loves Jesus and the church and the USA. And the theater that I saw this movie with, when I rented out a screening this weekend to watch it, everyone just started cheering.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't even cheering. They were actually just screaming. It was really cool. I felt very connected to the spirit.
At my screening, it was kind of embarrassing. I rented out this theater. Uh-oh. I invited like a ton of people, and I didn't expect this to happen, but you remember that point where Pastor Dave, like, looks, like, after, like, all, like, the montages of all the different monuments and stuff, and he looks right into the camera?
Mm-hmm.
I had, like, a full-body orgasm. Yeah, and I was, like, super embarrassed, and I didn't want to tell anyone, but then I, like, was talking to the girl next to me, and she was like, I also had a full-body orgasm. And I was, like, talking to, like, the parents, and everybody had one.
I think that's really beautiful.
It was beautiful, and I was just like, we are all the people, you know what I mean?
Coming. We are the people. Yeah. I think a lot of people would have been like, this is textbook sexual harassment. Please keep this to yourself.
Yeah.
But I'm really glad that you invited, like, a whole theater of people who just got got kind of tantric with God's Not Dead, We the People.
I didn't expect it, but it was sort of was this like, it was just such a good lesson of like, if you take government out of the theaters, you will come. And like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's really weird that the Bare Naked Ladies 1 week predicted the sexual awakening people would have when Dave looked directly into the camera in their song 1 week. Like when he goes, like, Harrison Ford, I'm getting frantic. Like, Dave, I'm tantric. Cut that. not using that. Do you think he was looking directly into the camera to achieve the Brechtian Bear from Dunks effect?
I think he invented it before Brecht did. I gotta be honest.
Yeah, Brecht saw God's Not Dead, We the People, and was like, I've got an idea for a cheap opera.
Honestly, this movie didn't just invent Brecht. This movie invented alternative comedy. This movie invented alt comedy. Like that scene where everyone stands in a circle and takes turns reciting parts of the same monologue to each other about all of the good reasons to homeschool. And it's crazy. Everyone who started like Upright Citizens Brigade, like David Wayne, director of Wet Hot American Summer, even like a young Steve Martin saw that scene and were like, this is the template, honey. I'm so glad I came with podcaster Pastor Jude Audenzia to see this movie in a theater at a Fathom event and just come myself silly.
Yeah, it's actually beautiful what's possible when you like put it back center.
When you just trust your scene partner that they'll come up with something as just gold as we want to decide what immunizations our kids receive.
To say nothing of systemic racism.
Oh, welcome to Dead Horse, a podcast about underseen, underdiscussed, overextended film franchises. We are finishing our God's Not Dead series with God's Not, for now, with God's Not Dead 4, We the People. And I don't know if you could tell by the tone of our conversation, but last episode we were like fairly impressed, might be the wrong word, but it was notable how comparatively subtle God's Not Dead 3 was in its messaging. This one, oh boy! Woo-hoo! Woo! We open on Ronald Reagan stock footage, folks. It's the American flag and big Ronnie R going, freedom!
Jelly beans, Nancy and I.
That's not even a Ronald Reagan impression. That's Homestar Runner's Ronald Reagan. Well. Yeah, this movie fucking
Oliver Cromwell.
Well.
This movie hits the ground running, and an important piece of context that I just want to drop really early in the goings on, as we conclude our mini series God's Not Dead Horse. David A.R. White in 2020 divorced his like very he divorced his public wife. David A.R. White had where's my public wife? I love my public wife. He had a marriage with this lady who I guess was also an actor who produced and like appeared in other Pure Flix stuff. And they had a big public divorce in 2020. And it's surprising that it hadn't happened sooner because David A.R. White is one of the most divorced-looking people I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
In my whole life. Like, those are some, I'm back, baby. I'm back and it's a new me at age 56. Frosted tips on that man. But this movie has the stink of, like, my wife left me and the kids won't answer my calls. I am getting on Breitbart and doing some Adderall. I am going down a fucking rabbit hole. My daughter won't pick up the phone. She says that I was at the January 6th riots or something. I'm doubling down. This movie is nuts. Fuck this movie. Fuck this series.
This movie, it's like the religious right equivalent of one of those Tumblr posts where somebody's like, no, I listen to real music like the Beatles and everyone claps. Becky.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
I'm just trying to think of like a great way to encapsulate the toxins that seeped into my bloodstream as I watched this film.
God.
It's just like fallacy after fallacy, exhausting montage after montage. If I had to see one more fucking like stock footage of like the Washington Monument, I was going to literally just like jump off of it.
There's so much stock footage in this movie. There's shots of every monument in DC, of rockets like going to space. One of these women is from NASA. It's
children taking tests in a classroom.
You know what fucking kills me too? Like, I just like so many politicians like lean faith-based. And they act, this movie and all of these movies act as though they have no buddies in high places. And it's like, are you kidding me? Yes, you do. You are not this, like, persecuted group here. Like, people, love you and think the same things you think. And they get to choose, like, what laws get made and what don't. So I just, like, I find, it just feels like all, like fake hypotheticals. And perhaps they are based on, like, some kinds of court cases. But in reality, like, so many politicians are like right-wing extremists, and I'm just like, I hate this idea that they basically act like these five people are the only Christians in the world. That's the vibe.
It's like it's tough because I know that essentially pointing out hypocrisy doesn't matter to right-wingers. Like, it does, they don't care. They either know or they don't. And either way, they're cool with it. But my God, when they were talking about how they were trying to keep the government out of our homes, I wanted to, like, reverse ring into the TV and rip out all of Pastor Dave's hair like a bathtub plug.
Oh, my God. Well, you bring up something with this series and where we're at on the fourth one, which I think we've kind of made clear to the listener is the one that goes full swings into being like noisy right wing, like far right propaganda after like trying to play nice about it to varying degrees for a couple movies. There is real world stuff that this movie is drawing on that I would be happy to reference and debunk. And like, I did some references, like some research here, but God damn it. How bad do any of us want to spend like a whole podcast episode being like, you know, these arguments that these Christian Republicans made in this propaganda film, I don't think they're right. And this Donald Trump guy, I think he's mean. I don't like that guy. Like, what is there to say? I mean, the ways that this movie expresses a lot of those things are like harebrained and feverish in ways that are like memorable enough that like we certainly have some stuff to talk about here, but like, this is fucking septic, man. I got so fucking mad, especially when I started looking closer at like some of the cases that they were drawing on. And I don't want to jump like as all over the place as we did in the third episode, but like a moment I had with this movie was that they are finally starting to like let the kayfabe slip about who their enemies are here. And there's some of the big buckets, like the enemies that they've named here. The big one is like nationalized education standards and like the public school system. The idea that Montana and California and New York and Virginia would all have to submit to the same standards of, like, what the answer to a fucking math problem is, or whether or not creationism is a viable explanation of human origin. The thing that they're starting to kind of, like, let the curtain slip on is the trans people stuff. Like, at the very end, because all of these movies are the only conflict that they're actually interested in resolving is whether or not a man can win an argument with the television. That's everything. Like, where does the movie end? Pastor Dave hasn't actually resolved anything. He hasn't fixed the issue of these kids who are getting pulled out of their homeschooling arrangement by an evil social worker. He gives a big stirring speech to, like, a shitty royalty-free version of the score from Remember the Titans. And when he's listing off evils in the world, one of the things that he says is, they are redefining biology. And I just remember being like, there it is! There it is!
It's
and then some of
there.
The court cases. It's always right there. And this is only a year ago, so you know that this is, like, this is one of the big topic issues that they feel like they are protecting children from by wanting to abolish social services.
You know what my favorite, one of my favorite things is, and this is just, like, in terms of, like, bad movie making, is, like, they will take the woke take of, like, a 22-year-old posting to their 500 followers on Instagram, just, like, a very personal post talking about, like, a niche take of, like, the very reasons why homeschooling is separatist, elitist, and racist, and then put it in the mouth of, like, a 65-year-old white judge. And I'm just like, she wouldn't say that. Like,
yeah.
She wouldn't think that. Like, she wouldn't care, know, or fight against it. Like, she is part of the problem. She's on your side, more likely. And I just love that they're just, like, dropping in woke arguments where they fit as a puzzle piece in the movie to, like, have something to martyr, you know?
Yes. Or, like, Judge Jeanine Pirro, or, like a similar, like, very establishment 50-something fucking white woman who's made out of masking tape being like, sorry, that might be mean. That's not attacking their, fuck these people. Being like, but sir, are you not aware that the Bible is patriarchal? Or the little dog whistle, I identify as self-partner.
That killed me. You're telling me this, like, 50-year-old white woman is offended that a 6-year-old asked her if her name was Miss or Mrs. Because she identifies as self-partnered, something I've never fucking heard of in my life.
When they say never. I identify as, it doesn't matter what you say next, because everyone in the audience's eyes roll back into their heads like they're the counting guy from Dune.
Well, I identify as something purple.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So, here, let's dive into a summary real quick, and this can be fast, because they've all but dropped the everything is connected Ludo narrative fucking shit.
Not all the way.
There's a couple of little bits of business, but 90% of this movie is just about, there is a group of Christian parents who are homeschooling through a co-op run by Dave's church. The evil social services checks it out and finds it not up to their standards, despite the fact that they're doing better on standardized tests than public school kids. A congressman thankfully hears about their plight and gives Pastor Dave a call and says, hey, we're actually doing some, like, Department of Education hearings if you and these parents want to come down and monologue at us. So they go to Washington, they check out all of the monuments, and they remind themselves that they're all actually about Jesus Christ. And then that, like, spurs them on enough to give a whole bunch of extremely compelling and not at all dumb as rocks arguments in front of a panel who is largely not defined politically, but are all wearing blue and going every time it cuts to them. So that's going on. What are the little pieces I'm missing here? Aisha's back.
Aisha is back, and
yeah, my theater cheered.
I'm feeling a convert on the horizon, if you know what I mean. It looks like Daddy's a little interested in what Aisha's all about now.
He's Jesus curious.
Yeah,
now.
He is, and it's a big win. You know, it doesn't really matter. Like, there's a few characters that are just like funny, like. Do we?
Martin Yip.
There's Martin is always here, and he is like, he is immune to stress. He just has fun talking about whatever's up. You know, right now it's the Constitution. He even likes talking about how China's like difficult to like live in.
Sometimes he pouts about it. He pouts thoughtfully.
He's like smiling though. So that's like, I appreciate that about Martin, is like, even if he's having a shit day, like I don't feel stressed out when I'm talking to him.
I don't fuck with negativity.
Like I just need positivity in my life. There is a widow who identifies as widow. She self-identifies as widow, and she's a widow.
My husband died.
And she, you know, it's kind of funny. This movie takes offense when someone asks, "Are you Miss or Mrs.?" And then later on, like one of our heroes takes offense when no. Oh, I guess that does make sense. She's, like, pissed that they don't call her the right thing because she's like, I'm Mrs. I don't know. I think it's messed up. She absolutely worked at NASA, and if any of you motherfuckers don't believe it, I'd like to see you work at NASA.
Wait. Are you Becky Granger? Do you mean to tell me that someone of Christian faith held a job at NASA, the science place where smart people work?
Yeah.
I'm transgender, and that's impossible.
I know. So that's, like, sort of where I was coming from. But then after I watched the film, I was like, oh, I guess when Christians take, like, a standardized test, they don't write Jesus when people ask, like, what the force that makes apples fall to the ground is. So that's, you know, this movie taught me a lot.
Yeah. Wait, I had something that's gone. Never mind.
Well, thanks for listening to Dead Horse. be sure to...
Homeschooling... Is anyone saying you can't do it? Like,
I don't
understand. Is anyone saying you can't fucking do it? I feel like you can, and it's fine. They're just like, hey, prioritize math a little more, please.
Yeah, like, that's the thing, is that they try to lump in legitimate arguments for homeschooling in the same ideological cabal as the kids need to know about Noah or they'll grow up to be socialists. Like, that aspect gets, you know, 95% of fucking screen time, and then one parent approaches Pastor Dave with the giddy cadence of, like, a fellow shark member in West Side Story and says, we like to focus on the arts and music because those are usually the first things to get cut out of public school. And then somebody, given the exact same amount of ideological weight, says, yeah, and I want to choose which vaccinations my kids get.
It's the same. It's the same importance.
And even they have their minds fucking blown. The Christian homeschoolers have their shit absolutely rocked by the notion that you can homeschool your kids for a reason other than, like, religious indoctrination. When somebody says that, Pastor Dave actually goes, wow, I just assumed. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
That's like, you're... I'm so exhausted, honestly.
I've never seen you look sadder on this podcast. And this one, how many times have we come to a movie and all of us just felt like a dour fucking cloud hanging over us?
Maybe
about
like three,
trying to...
Like three or four, maybe.
Yeah. Becky, are you okay? Your identifying is pretty sad right now.
Yeah, I am. And I just feel like you're coming into my apartment and telling me that I should not self-identify as being sad. I also think it's funny, like, Pastor Dave is our hero, who's, like, supposed to be, like, wise and brave and stuff, but they give him, like, the emotional and, like, global, like, wherewithal of, like, a teenager. Like, the fact that he hasn't even considered that people would be homeschooled for reasons other than his God. The way that he falls for apparently, like, the chairman asking him distracting questions about Noah and hair. Like, how he falls for everything and then, like, comes to, like, present himself as, like, a genius who, like, finally foiled them in the end for seeing, like, what it was all about. It's like, yo, your hero is dumb as bricks, bro. Like, he should not have fallen for any of that. It's embarrassing to watch him stumble through and figure everything out. Because not only is this not really figuring anything out, but what they pretend to figure out is very obvious in the first place.
Well, there are these moments in the movie where the writer, a guy named Tommy Blaze, who we will get to, sometimes our scribe Tommy, author that he is, has to make Pastor Dave or someone else dumb so that they can ask questions that then allow a character to explain things to them. What's his nuts? Isaiah Washington, an actor who during the time of this filming was identified as Republican, as Representative Daryl Smith, gives a speech to Pastor Dave in a pizza place in Washington, D.C., which, wow, that didn't go where I was worried it was going to go. He's explaining to him the agenda that public schools are trying to push about all of the founding fathers being racist, oppressive slave owners, and Pastor Dave adopting a worldview that he didn't have minutes before this conversation goes, but wait, isn't that true? To which Representative Daryl Smith helpfully offers, yeah, sure, some of them owned slaves, but they were practically kids.
They were babies.
Some of them were 26 kids. Years old, and Thomas Jefferson was only 33.
What, are we going to persecute them? They have their whole lives ahead of them.
Yeah, what, are we supposed to ruin this guy's, like, football career?
He reminds me of my
just
grandson.
Just because he owned people?
Just dismissing the fact that everyone died at 45 from, like, French teeth rot or what the fuck ever.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, we really need to cut more slack to, like, Thomas Jefferson. He was really the Brock Turner of his time.
Oh, God!
He's just a kid. He can't make mistakes.
Oh, man. And you know what? Like, I hate to point out the obvious, but, like, why are they mad that they're not teaching Christianity in public schools? That's fucking crazy. Like, I'm just like, I don't want to have to say that. It seems really fucking obvious that this is a problem in the film, but it's insane to me that that is a legitimate point that they have. It's like, they're rewriting history. Our founding fathers were actually Christian. It's like, well, to my understanding, some of them were just deists.
Yes.
But even still, even if they were Christian, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
That's why you raise them in your religion. You don't expect public schools to, like, to make sure that that is taught to the masses. Are you confused about the country you live in? I literally feel like I'm crazy watching this
Would
movie.
It fucking kill you to, like, take your kid to, like, a cathedral on the weekends? Would it fucking kill you to watch some... Hey, there's a streaming service. It's called PureFlix. And you can get a free trial for 1 month. And then after that, I think it's only like, you know, $14.99. You can watch that.
Wait, why didn't we do that?
It's a good question. Oh, it might have... It might have only been a one-week trial.
Okay, yeah, yeah. You're right, month would be long. But that would have been sick. We bought these movies. Let us be clear. We had to buy three of these movies.
One of them was on YouTube.
Rent. Yeah, one of them is on the YouTube. At 240.
Mm-hmm. 240p. Like, way wider than it should be, honestly. Yeah, like, if you're having a... If you're having a problem with your kids, like, you know, not being exposed to Christianity in public school, just sit them down in front of the old CRT monitor, connect to your dial-up internet, load God's Not Dead 3 for a few hours, and then throw that on. See if they don't get right
the
with
the CRT
God.
Monitor. What is that? The critical race theory monitor that you're trying to push into this conversation to indoctrinate us into hating ourselves?
Like 100 videos of adults on Twitter destroying CRT monitors with a baseball bat. I went out and bought 4 more CRT monitors and I'm throwing them into this fire.
But how are they saying this? How is one of their legitimate arguments that they're teaching kids that they don't need God in schools? No one is saying that. Like, no one is saying you don't need God. Everybody is saying, like, this is how to do math. So, like, I'm so confused how this is, like, a legitimate argument in the film. Like, what do they actually want?
I simply don't understand, because also, like, the straw men Democrat cabal, they say something like, if you ask kids these days who the founding fathers were, they'd probably say they're a bunch of old white men who owned slaves, like you were saying, PJ. And it's like, no, that's not what they're taught. They're just like, they're taught very like too respectfully.
Yeah.
It's the opposite problem.
No. And
you're just making things up.
They're taking discourse that literally young millennials and Gen Z folks are talking about on their Instagram stories and acting like that's what's being taught in schools, when in reality what was taught in school was almost a fabrication in their favor of, like, these were really, like, honorable men who, like, did no wrong and, like, founded the country. And yes, they may have owned slaves, but they were babies. Like, that's the vibe of what I was taught. And now that we have some discourse about, like, the more nuanced reality of, like, who these people were, they're pissed? That's not even in school!
It's the, like, theatrically released version of those news cycles that are, like, one person on Reddit is like, hey, the lyrics to Baby It's Cold Outside are kind of creepy. And then 2 days later, enough right-wing rags have manufactured outrage enough that Tucker Carlson is like, they're trying to cancel Baby It's Cold Outside. And now I have to hear it from one of my uncles at the Christmas party that, like, hey, they're trying to make Baby It's Cold Outside woke now, when no one was ever doing that. One person on some forum was just like, That reads a little weird, and now it's the laser focus of the entirety of the Christian right.
Did y'all ever see that image that went around like a year or two ago of it was like an eighth grade history worksheet from a school in like a public school in San Antonio, Texas, and it was like slavery, a balanced view. And it prompted students to list it like, so slavery had some cons, okay? But what were the pros?
God.
That was real. That was fucking real. I was also reading about, the coronavirus forced a lot of, like, non-religious, non-like freaky fundy people into, like, considering homeschooling and what would go into it.
Right.
And it started a lot of conversations about the the many reasons that people get homeschooled. The movie offers there's a black woman in the circle of people taking turns with the monologue, and she says, "Well, we pulled our kids out of school because of institutional racism." And the movie has no argument about what could be causing those conditions that are, like, traumatic for her kid, and the only answer is to, like, pull them out. But there actually was a story about a woman in, I want to say it was, yeah, it was Abington in Southwest Virginia. There's an article on The Nation by Catherine Stewart, as the religious right forces the gospel into public schools, some parents are opting to homeschool. She went to a public school in, like, Appalachian Virginia, that was completely overrun, like, culturally, by enough, like, far-right religious people that her daughter, a non-believer, basically got bullied out of the fucking school. There was some story about, it might have been the same girl, a girl was getting made fun of by a group of kids who were in, like, a Christian after-school club. And one of them fucking choked this girl. And the school administration said that she was being too sensitive. So, number one, we're getting rid of this idea that public schools are this, like, liberalism-friendly, like, massive institution of anti-Christianity, because that's just not anyone's experience, because anytime lawmakers push for nationalized education standards, they meet unbelievable resistance to that. A lot of conversations have happened around the exact same thing with homeschooling. There was, like, a pretty landmark case in, like, 2004, I want to say. There was this, oh my god, I'm trying to find it. The Collingswood Boys. This was a story from Collingswood, New Jersey. Raymond and Vanessa Jackson were these two, they were a married couple, and they had four boys that they had adopted. And they were indicted by a grand jury on 8 counts of aggravated assault, 20 counts of endangerment for failing to provide adequate nutrition, medical and dental care, and a clean environment for the four boys, who ranged in age 10 to 19 as of May 2004. When a neighbor found one of these kids rooting around in their trash looking for food, and assumed that this kid was, like, 5 or 6 because of the way he looked, and not a teenager as he was at something like 45 pounds. It started to generate some national conversations about, like, what standards do we need to hold homeschooling to? What reports do they need to send in about the testing that they're doing, the curriculum that they are covering, the medical and nutritional well-being of the kids who are just not leaving this house, and pushing for things like social workers being able to pull up on you uninvited to just check in that you're not abusing the fuck out of your kids. And those were met with sweeping resistance. Yeah. Let me see. There was another story where Elizabeth Barthelet, who's the faculty director at the Child Advocacy Program at Harvard Law, published an 80-page paper in the Arizona Law Review called Homeschooling, Parent Rights, Absolutism versus Child Rights to Education and Protection. 80 pages about like a wide survey of the conditions of, like, religious extremism getting pushed on kids who are homeschooled. And was inundated with, like, angry messages, was the subject of, like, a bunch of targeted intimidation from this group called the HSLDA, the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, which I believe is cited in some of the legal cases that we see in the credits for this movie. And every time someone tries to introduce a bill requiring homeschooled students to register with school districts, undergo yearly medical exams, submit portfolios of schoolwork, the HSLDA is there to oppose those bills and to knock them down. Those are the things that are being cited as, like, the underdogs winning against the oppressive state in the credits of the God's Not Dead movies. The way that social workers particularly get vilified in this movie is fucking awesome. It's great.
Yeah.
It's fucking great.
Well, they're you know, only acting on their own evil self-interest.
They identify as evil.
They identify as evil. They don't care about children who are in bad circumstances with no one to advocate for them.
The things that they're afraid of happening in this movie, like, it does seem like the social worker is coming to Pastor Dave's happy fun time basement, whatever.
Happy fun time re-education TV.
Yeah, by the way, Martin Yip brings up a very good point. Can you imagine if there were, like, oppressive propaganda re-education facilities? Can you imagine if the country you lived in had really harmful, like, propaganda and, like, pushed its beliefs on people? That would be crazy. But no, the social worker pulls up on them and is alarmed that they are being taught religious materials at all. As though that's new information to her. Parents have a bunch of legitimate reasons for wanting to homeschool their kids. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that they've found with a lot of the parents who are, like, looking for solid curriculum is that sometimes it's actually, depending on what state you're in, it's kind of hard to find good curriculum that is, like, up to acceptable standards on history and science and literature, because faith-based homeschool programs have a really, really strong foothold. That tends to be one of the most overwhelmingly popular reasons that this happens. And so the resistance that they're fabricating in this movie is, I mean, God, I feel like a rube. Like, of course it's stupid. We picked a fucking fascist propaganda franchise. What were we expecting? I'm, like, whamming myself in the balls, and I'm like, why does this hurt? But, you know,
I totally get what that frustration, like, this cycle of, like, me getting mad at this movie, because, like, that's part of what they want. Like, they want people to have their, like, faith in this reaffirmed or ignited, and then if it triggers the libs, then that's so much the better. So when I watch this and I think it's stupid, I still feel like a rube for having done so. Because David A.R. White's not going to listen to this.
I mean,
he should.
Hey, David.
We're such a fan on the last one. Like, I just feel like he might, I don't know.
You know what? I bet we could get Vance Null. I bet you we could get the director of this movie, the editor of the last ones. He has a website with, like, his email and his contact info. I bet we could hit him up and be like, hey, man, we're thinking about rewatching the Honey movies, and we're going to start with two and end with it. You want to come through? Come watch the eight.
Just every year we do Honey 2 again.
Wait, please? Wait, can we? You know what? Yeah, I'm just going to say it. I think some of the stuff in God's Not Dead, We the People, I think some of it's hooey. I think some of it is not true. And maybe even bad. Please be sure to rate us 5 stars. We are activists. We are. This is my activism. Donald Trump, da bad man. He orange.
My activism is that girl would not take that boy to prom. She's not going to take him to prom. She's not going to take. She's not going to take a squirrely homeschooled kid to prom. I'm sorry. Like, he's afraid of her. She's cute. She already knows, like, all that, like, social, like, she's just not gonna
she has social skills and shit, and she's just like, I can't get enough of this boy. stammering and hopping around and talking about how much he loves to drive a car.
That God, okay, that is one through line of this series that I want to talk about. God makes his moves almost exclusively through cars in this franchise.
I know! It's like, all about getting cars, getting in them, do they start, and that's the car. We got a car, cars.
Will a car hit you? Will a big car hit your little car? Will you meet someone near the car who you love?
This is what I'm talking about. They take Nissan Altimas out of our schools, out of our government, and this is what we're left with. And these are reminders of what the America is founded on.
I'm saying.
Which is cars.
How the fuck are 17-year-olds supposed to get married if they can't sell Nissan Altimas to each other?
It's disgusting. 17-year-olds don't get married anymore. Like, look at what is happening to our society.
Look, she's a 10, but her mother is Judge Jeanine Pirro.
I mean, it reminded me a lot of how I met my beautiful wife, Laura, near a car.
Another trend of these movies that has reared its head in this entry is that the casting director found a whole bunch of like evangelical, like right wing people. Because pause, dog ear the sentence that I'm currently saying because I have brain problems. This is officially the movie where, like, I don't think an actor involved with this production could possibly not know what they're getting into. Like, you kind of have to be, by the time you sign on to a movie called God's Not Dead, We the People, you're being given sides that say things like, but mom, isn't it their right to believe in Jesus? Like, once you get lines like that, you know what you're getting into. But the casting directors of these movies always find, like, this pool of fundies, and they go, okay, hot people, you go stand on the left side of the warehouse. You're gonna play the good guys. And then they find the, forgive me, this isn't nice. This doesn't really reflect my worldview on people usually. But then they find the fucking freaks. They find all the people who've been just, like, whammed with the fucking ugly stick. And they go, okay, yeah, you get to the other side of the warehouse. You're gonna play
liberals. Can you say Nancy Pelosi? Good, good. You're going to do great.
Remember the visit we got from social services the other day?
I'm here to review your homeschooling environment.
Religion has been removed from our schools. They're teaching kids that they don't need God.
If your children do not show up at school a week from Monday, you will be charged with contempt of court, meaning you will be incarcerated.
The only song I know from Hamilton is "We the people, in order to form a more perfect union." I could hear the actors singing it in their heads to be like, that's right.
These people would not watch Schoolhouse Rock. It's too political.
Nah, you're right. Yeah.
Oh, is that a song?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Schoolhouse Rock.
What are they going to tell the kids about Interplanet Janet? She's a galaxy girl. What if they check out Interplanet Janet and she's out here telling people that she's a woman, but she does not have a seed-bearing vulva? How am I supposed to explain that to my children?
No, you
identify
can't.
As a bill.
Identify as a bill. I identify on capital L.
I identify as having a friend in me. I identify as having a friend in me. You got gender. I got it too.
You got gender.
It's a gender out there. People think I'm crazy because I identify as worried all the time.
Hold on, I gotta get some drink from my glass. Hold on.
You got it. What the PJ?
What is it?
It's spinach. A mug of spinach.
This isn't doing what you think it's doing, I think.
This is a good drink.
Oh my god, are you loving your spinach tea?
I got a big mug of spinach. I'm just dumping it in there.
Just, you know,
you got a cup of spinach.
Widely regarded as Weird Al Yankovic's worst song, You've Got a Cup of Spinach. He just wasn't even trying.
He was going through something.
This is Randy Newman's best food.
That's my best food.
Don't you mean your favorite food?
No.
Whatever.
Hey, BJ, thanks for eating my best food.
No, you can't. You can't do it if you're just speaking. If you're speaking, then you just sound like Barney. They're trying to take Barney out of our kids' schools. They don't want kids to hear his message about manners and the Barney bag and
how he lived amongst humans.
Becky, have you known PJ long enough to, I forget when you started really getting in on this, but sending that video of an old episode of Barney where Barney just goes, "Everybody get back in the pool."
You know what the social workers in this movie said is,
"Everybody get back into the school." Get back into the pool.
Get back into the pool.
When you're not inside the pool, you should be. You got a CRT.
All right. Does anyone, real quick, before we get back into the episode, does anyone want some spinach?
Before we get back in, they have to know. They have to know this.
I was incredibly surprised there was no mask shit in this movie.
Mm. Well, this like, came out in 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, this came out on October 4th, 2021, so it was probably filmed on October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
Yeah, it was after COVID, sorry. Yeah.
They're literally trying to silence us. Well, so check this out. The movie, these are all, like, what they would call, like, above-the-line productions, which means that they have enough of a budget that they are legally required to use union labor. Like they work with IATSE, the like Teamsters Artisans and Electricians Union, and it's also SAG-AFTRA. So this is the kind of production where they're required to have like a COVID compliance officer. And if you look at behind the scenes pictures of this, like you can see people in masks running mm-hmm. the crew. So I guess they were, whether or not they especially wanted to be, like they were required to observe some sort of like COVID compliance policy, but there are there are other little tweaks to what's going on behind the scenes with this movie. The director of this one is a real person of public record named Vance Null, who was the editor of the first couple, and where this movie retains like some of the professionalism and sheen of the first one, it looks a lot shittier. It has dumber camera movement and camera placement, couple like awkward shots of a locked down tripod of someone sitting down on a couch and drinking coffee, and then they just get up and walk out of the frame and we don't follow them, stuff like that. They shot it during a time of year when I guess the part of Arkansas they're in just looks like fucking dog shit. Like, the skies are all really gray, the trees are dead, the leaves have fallen. It doesn't look like the weird, like, Caucasian Eden of whatever magical city the first three were supposed to take place in. And, like, I think Dixon was saying earlier, this is the one where they start deploying, like, lots and lots and lots of stock footage. This movie about all of the horrific things that happen in a classroom cannot be bothered to have a scene taking place within a classroom, presumably because some number of the filmmakers are not allowed within 50 yards of a school, but that's just my theory. It also just seems like bad dramatization to not take us in there. And plus, I really want to see the people at PureFlix find, like, I don't know, who's some Kevin Sorbo adjacent, like, right-wing actor to, like, put on a wig and play, like, a disgusting transsexual teacher who's, like, trying to force HRT on all of the students or something like that. The filmmaking is taken...
This movie was also... I was just going to say it's also colored very stupidly.
Yeah.
Like, looks pukey. Everybody's skin looks sickly and, like, pale. Like, or not... Everybody's skin looks like a sickly bright yellow where they put all the concealer under their eyes, and then the rest of their skin is like pink. Like, it was just like very colored poorly, and the makeup was like really intense. Like, it's distracting all the different, like, the different topography of his face. And I'm like, that's not what I'm supposed to be looking at right now.
I don't, you know, I don't know. I'm the person of the three of us who probably knows the, like, ins and outs of, like, the actual film industry the least. I wonder, like, if there was, like, problems with certain locations or something, because some of the actual sets look like dog shit. Like, quote, Jimmy's Pizza, where Dave Hill and Daryl Smith meet up for the first time, is just, like, a room. It is a room with chairs and tables, and, like, that lighting you're talking about, Becky, where you can see the exact, like, T-zone of fucking foundation that Reverend Dave is wearing. Like, it's, like,
I forgot
shocking.
It was a pizza shop, honestly.
Yeah.
With a name like Jimmy's, how could you not know? It's such a fucking first draft, I'll think of the pizza place's name later thing to leave in your fucking script. Just go on Celtics and control F Jimmy's. Figure it out. So they're... PJ, I feel like you said on a previous episode that they're making a fifth one of these.
Do we have to?
I don't think we've run into this problem before. They haven't announced a new Honey movie or anything. Like, this is, I think, the first of the series that we've covered where there is a greenlit sequel that, given the production level of these things, will probably come out next year, honestly.
It will. It's coming out in 2023.
There's a new Spy Kids.
Oh, my God. Oh, right. Yeah. That'll be nice.
I think it would be cool and responsible of us to, like, cover things that we've covered just as, like, fun bonus eps. It hurts to say that.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that, but...
You know I love doing the show with y'all so much, but it is a little troubling that someone can say that it's the responsible thing of me to do to go see God's Not Dead 5 in theaters.
Let's all go
in theaters.
Can we use the buddy system if I'm going to go see this movie in theaters?
Yeah, 100%.
Can we squad up for that one? Because I need... All right, we can take this out of the episode. Y'all are strapped, right?
Yeah, I'm always
Yeah,
strapped.
You're gonna carry the strap with you into the theater, right? You won't be alone.
Do you think that they'd be cool if they knew that I was defending my trans friend with my Glock? Do you think that would be, like, a cool way to use my gun?
You bring in your David AR-15 white. No, honestly, one thing that I do think is worthwhile to talk about here, the first movie got, like a theatrical release, and I think the second one did too, but then these last two were, they were Fathom events. You ever go to a Regal Cinema or something like that, and you're like, oh yeah, one of these days I'm gonna pay, like, a little extra money and watch them broadcast an opera into this theater or host my next corporate event here. Can't wait to do that. That's basically, these movies were, like, telecast to movie theaters for a 3-day event. because they did eventually, you know, start making a little less money. But it also seemed like it kind of I don't know, like it bottlenecked the audience into a little bit more urgency about having to go see it, because it was only a fucking Clerks 3 style limited release that's just for the fans. I know I'm bopping all over the place, but a thing I do want to mention about this movie is that one of the credited screenwriters is a guy named Tommy Blaze, who is not a gay porn actor. Tommy Blaze is a, I don't want to be a dick, but a failed stand-up comedian, who became really involved with David A.R. White and his, like, Pinnacle Pictures, like, Pure Flicks, I'm a Normal Guy media empire. There's a very, very good YouTube video that I think I sent to the thread of a comedy tour that is hosted by David A.R. White, because he's so funny. What's his nuts? Tommy Blaze and a guy named Brad Stein, who we've talked about on the podcast before, because he's really the originator of the, like, Fundy Christian Jim Brewer thing. Like, Brad Stein is the comedian that I was referencing when I was talking about that right-wing comedian dynamic where they go, you're trying to change your freaking gender? Even though you have a penis? I don't think so! And then the audience is just, like, cheering and hooting, and they, like, can't believe how funny that is.
Their faces melting like at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
My jaw unhinges. It falls off. My tongue is wagging around like the Exorcist girl eating pussy.
I don't think so. They just come out onto a basketball court just like jumping around.
Yeah, exactly. Like three middle-aged white guys doing their own version of the Harlem Globetrotters, where they're just coming out and they're being like, and then my wife threw away the pudding. but I guess Tommy Blaze is specifically David A.R. White's comedy partner. He's listed as a writer on many of the short-lived sitcoms that David A.R. White produced so that he could play a dad. I'm going to pull a Casper's Haunted Christmas here. I'm going to send an IMDb page to the horses here. Because there's some gems on Tommy Blaze's IMDb credits. He's the guy who ultimately wrote this movie, and that's why it feels less like a screenplay than it did before. That's why you have characters having much more forced feeling conversations about political talking points, in a way that feels like measurably worse than the other movies.
Oh my god. A movie called Beckman, where David A.R. White plays a contract killer who becomes the reverend of an L.A. church until a cult leader and his minions kidnap his adopted daughter. Holy shit.
I have to watch that. What the?
Yeah.
There's only one Beckman that I care about. Were you about to talk about Malibu Dan, the family man?
I was absolutely going to bring up Malibu Dan, the Family Man, PJ.
It looks great. These are the fakest looking movies I've ever seen.
I know I don't know anything about business, and there is a way that this works, but how does, like, it's honestly at least a little bit inspirational that these two people have turned one of them writing fake sitcoms and the other starring into fake sitcoms into, like, a viable business model.
It's what me and my, like, sister are trying to do. Exactly what these two did.
Malibu Beck, the family hack. I don't know.
Malibu Beck goes on a marriage retreat.
The men's room, run-on, marriage retreat. And then this thing from...
Marriage retreat!
There's a like 14 year gap, something like that, between 2011, 1998. Tommy Blaise wrote a movie in 2011 called Marriage Retreat, starring David A.R. White. 14 years before that, he has a movie called Viewer Discretion Advised, that appears to be from Troma?
What?
Viewer Discretion Advised, directed by Tommy Blaise, Phil Morton, Eddie Beverly, and Richard Peters. And this appears to be what they call in the biz a titty picture, which tells me that Tommy Blaise got saved.
Tommy Blaise got Tommy saved.
Tommy Save got Tommy Blazed.
Folks, I think I figured out Dead Horse's Christmas special. Banking on Christmas. When a failing mechanic and an uptight loan officer are forced to spend the Christmas holiday together locked in a bank vault.
What the fuck?
They both learn dreams are worth living and fighting for.
Oh my god.
That's what I would learn.
If I had to spend my Christmas locked in a vault with a mechanic.
Everyone's nightmare.
Not this again. I would love to be locked in a vault with David A.R. White. I feel like over the course of several days, the shell of his frosted hair would just start to shed, and they would fall to the ground like little potato chips. And I could eat them. Hey, so conservatism, pretty scary. Pretty fucking scary. I mean, I just want to loop back to some stuff here. I don't feel like we have a responsibility to let the listeners know where we stand on whether or not the Republican Party is bad. But a lot of the stuff that they're pushing in this movie, kind of reminded me that I'm stuck in the real world. And that this is a movie about the forces that shape it. I love the way kids are used as a pawn in these conversations that are directed by people who could not give two shits or a fuck about your kid. They don't care about the conditions of foster homes. They don't care about the living conditions of these kids who are getting homeschooled. They don't care about the conditions that kids are subjected to in the fucking real world. They don't actually care about pedophilia. They don't actually care about grooming. Pedophilia doesn't actually register to them as being a thing. If it's happening to a girl who's 13 or like a little bit older, that doesn't count as pedophilia to them. That's its own soapbox, but they don't give a fuck. And when Isaiah Washington is giving a speech about how this homeschooling case is our chance to prove that children don't belong to the government. They belong to their parents. That sent a fucking chill down my spine. That really, 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 really scared me. I got nothing. Fuck these people. Fuck these fucking people. I hate this country so fucking much.
It's not either or. It's not that children belong to their parents or the government. Like, how about they're just kids and they grow up and become, like, adults? Like, it's not like those are the only two things. I've never heard anyone in earnest saying children belong to the government. What a psychotic sentence that no Democrat has ever in earnest said.
Do you remember when Boyfriend Boy is asking out the marriageable teen when he gets her car to solidify that they will become the mating pair of the film. Do you remember the things that he describes to, like, advocate for homeschooling? He says, "My thoughts are my own. I'm not being forced to memorize things. My thoughts are my own. And yet..." And What am I hoping to prove pointing out that they're like hypocritical about this stuff and that they're trying to like socially engineer these people to like never leave their immediate bubble or find out what a gay person is or God forbid care about them. I don't.
It's so aggravating that they've just like cornered not an unassailable market on a particular brand of stupidity, because you can and should assail it at all times, but it's just like there is no tactic against this movie or the people who made it that really can do anything. Like either you're with it or you're triggered by its truths, and this was a really frustrating watch for that reason. I just felt so defeated whenever it got a rise out of me. Ah!
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Dee, get off.
A friend.
Sorry.
No, it's all right.
Dee is a big David R. White fan, so.
Becky's cat has entered the chat. There were some court cases at the end of this movie that really stood out to me. The very first one is Doe v. Madison Metropolitan School District. This took place in Madison, Wisconsin, 2020, but I guess it's an ongoing case. Parents sued a Wisconsin school district for instructing school employees to assist students of any age to adopt a transgender identity and conceal the gender transition from the student's parents. The lawsuit is ongoing. Alliance Defending Freedom and Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty attorneys represent the parents. What else we got? In the matter of CJC, Texas 2020, Texas Supreme Court. Texas Supreme Court protected biological parents' rights when it ruled that a biological father had a legal right to sole custody and to make decisions for his daughter after the child's deceased mother's boyfriend tried to obtain custody rights. Alliance Defending Freedom filed an amicus brief supporting the biological father in the case. What do you want to bet there's information about that guy they're leaving out? The People versus DeJong. The Michigan Supreme Court protected parents' parents' rights to homeschool their children by ruling that parents did not need a teacher certification to homeschool their children for religious reasons. The Homeschool Legal Defense Association represented the parents in this case. Yeah, yet again, some of this transgender shit rears its fucking head and they start to murmur the quiet part just a little bit louder this time. Do you know that in some of these states where people are like raising a bunch of concerns about like transgender kids playing sports, that to make sure that kids are organized by their like physical sex assigned at birth, to make sure that those categories are maintained, there are schools that have discussed like what procedures would have to take place for them to have genital inspections of children. Genital inspections. This is being led by the people who are crowing about children being groomed and being inducted into gender ideology. Did you know that 41% of transgender people die by suicide? I hate this fucking country. Anyway, this was a good movie, though. Just sort
of.
Aww.
Yeah.
Aisha get hit by the car.
Oh my god, Aisha got hit by the car. Her dad's flirting with Jesus. He also is sitting really close to a little boy in a pew. And the woman watching him, zero questions for the stranger, like basically right next to this little boy she's watching. Just none. Just let him to go.
Wait a second. This is the little boy whose dad died in the war and he has the widow mama who's still a missus. What?
NASA queen.
What was the fucking line about how if she takes her kid to public school, they're going to register him as special needs and they're never going to challenge him adequately?
And then he's going to fit the label of special needs because that's how they like set the expectations and then he would end up meeting
these
them.
Government pedophiles like, are making my child autistic.
Yeah, like straight up. So insane.
Okay, one more thing I want to ask about, and then we should probably pivot to rankings and reviews. But the widow, Air Force widow lady, says, My husband died on a training exercise. It was officially labeled equipment malfunction, but I can read between the lines. What the fuck does that mean?
Oh my god, wait. I literally forgot about that.
I have no fucking idea.
Like, they're like, listen, I can read between the lines. Pizzagate. Like, everything is a fucking...
That's exactly my, like, it's got to be some kind of Pizzagate thing, right? Like, not Pizzagate thing, but like, just like
a conspiracy.
Oh, we all know what we're talking about.
They're really like, embarrassed about the way he died because that bomb was meant for a bunch of Iraqi children. totally boofed it.
Whoopsie doops, meant to drop this on a wedding. Accidentally did it on
this guy. This guy is so fucking bumbling. What is this, Malibu Dan, the family man? You weren't supposed to carpet bomb yourself, little buddy. I hope they get crazier in the next one. If they bring in, like, I don't know, Jim Brewer to play, like, a transgender woman who's, like, teaching a kindergarten class and, like, pointing to a diagram of, like, her genitals to, like, instruct them on the process of getting your dick chopped off and, like, passing out education materials so that you can do it too, then I would camp out to see that movie. I would pitch a tent outside of the Regal Cinemas to be the first in for that Fathom event. We should also say, when they talk about the public schools that they're afraid of sending their kids to, they say that the second graders had advertisements for birth control distributed to them. That isn't.
You don't remember when they did that? They did that at Orange Elementary School in rural Virginia. That it's happening all over the nation.
My son came home saying, "Mommy, I want to get on birth control." He's 7, you sick fuck.
I don't know. I guess 3 is the best one.
Oh.
Right?
3 is the best. Oh, I have a ranking. Let's just do this.
Okay.
How are we... Best how?
I don't know. I don't know. You decide. I'm going to decide right now. Okay, so...
Thank you for not forcing your beliefs on me, Becky.
The best movie is 3. The most fun movie is 1. The third fun movie is 3.
Wait.
No.
You said 3 twice.
Is 2. The last fun movie is this.
I think in a dead horse first, I have the exact same rankings as
that. Hell yeah, man!
All it took
United
was God's
against
not
the
dead.
Enemy.
All it took was just 6 hours of utter fucking torment.
Yeah, if y'all could just stop yelling over each other and listen to each other and come and
meet
in the middle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, 4 is the best one. You know what? I thought about this. I'm not gonna recommend these movies to people. I'm not gonna be out somewhere and be like, "Hey, you know, God's Not Dead 3 is actually pretty good." Like the way that I have been about, I don't know, Honey 4. That's a fun movie to be able to say, "Hey, you'd never guess, but like, the fourth one is like really good. All the dancing is cool. The filmmaking's solid. Tiana Taylor is like a fucking movie star." You can't do that with any of these. The only reason to watch them is if you are going to guffaw at them. And I think on that score, if you were having like a bad movie night, which you shouldn't do because you're gonna die one day. You have limited time on this earth. Life is fleeting and it slips through your fingers like a fine, fine sand. Where am I fucking going with this? If you have a bad movie night, and you're picking something to watch, I actually kind of think God's Not Dead, We the People is gonna give you the thing you paid for. I think it is the craziest and funniest and worst. I would rank God's Not Dead 1 right under that. I would rank God's Not Dead 3 under that because it comes dangerously close to actually giving you some insight on like a human experience. And then God's Not Dead 2, which was a fun episode to watch and a fun episode to record because we had a really fucking cool guest. That goes last, because not everyone who watches that movie is going to be able to dial up Mystic Hightower afterwards and be like, yo, yeah. So this fascist boyfriend lawyer is like mad fuckable, right?
So there is a pretty, it's the same deal with all of these movies, that there is a dearth of reviews that make for content because they're either just amazing atheisty or just like paragraph long screeds. But there's a couple I wanted to shout out. This is a verified review. Great movie. Loved seeing it in theaters. Would love to see more movies like this at Regal.
I respect someone who is loyal to a theater chain like that. Specifically one Regal that isn't AMC. Specifically.
Yeah.
You know what? I rock with that person. This user found that review helpful.
Would have liked to see more goat on the faces of the corrupt government officials at the end. Maybe Judge Jeanine throwing out the case in the courtroom versus tearing up the papers at the end. But great movie. Becky, did you just change your background to the Universal Globe?
Yeah, I just think we're all human.
I just think we're all a Comcast company.
It is very good. I like how they used the monuments in DC. Great storyline.
Oh, that's nice.
Great movie. It show be shown in all public schools.
Manifest it, King.
And that's they should show the movie about how bad everything we're doing is in there. Well, I think the next miniseries we're doing is going to be the most unambiguously good one that we've done as a podcast, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or potentially, I suppose.
I'm very excited.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to talk about finally some good fucking food.
I know. I'm so glad we're doing the Final Fantasy series. The Final Fantasy movies. It's like, it's time. No, we're taking a break from feeling the grip of the American Empire on us. We're going to take a break from watching middle-aged men have an argument with the television and win as inspirational music plays in the background. And we're ready to beat down on some bad movies. We're ready to talk about some so bad it's good epic fail. Get that cinema sin ding counter ready. We're talking about the Richard Linklater's The Before trilogy.
Yay!
I'm so excited.
Oh man, we are gonna rip it a new asshole.
Fucking, we're gonna take these people to task. Finally, they someone with the balls to say it.
I'm like bitter. I feel kind of bittersweet that we're about to be done with the season of the show, and I'm like intimidated and like emotional about the movies that we're gonna talk about. But yeah, we're not a bad movie podcast, people. We do love this stuff. We do love like movies and human beings and being alive.
I'm so excited to have Savannah come home from work and not be watching the most embarrassing fucking thing in the world. I'm excited to maybe be like, hey, do you want to watch these with me? As opposed to her coming home in the middle of the Mr. Smith Goes to Washington speech of God's Not Dead 4 and being like, Jesus Christ! And then taking a long time to put on pajamas so that she doesn't have to be in the living room.
For Savannah.
For Savannah.
For Savannah.
All right.
Good night, folks.
We the gender.
Text 100 of your friends. We the gender.
Hey, God's not dead.
You, he's PJ, you can do it. Life. Like, actually, you're banned from doing it.
He's roaring. He's roaring. Roaring. He's roaring.
Like what? Like what?
Like what, Randy?
Well, sit down and I'll tell you. Everybody get back into the church.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.
Dead Horse is hosted and produced by Becky Granger, Dixon Cashwell, and PJ Audenzia. As always, we want to thank Max Huffman for our podcast art, so check out his store at maxhuffman.com to check out prints, merch, and original comics, which is really cool. Your theme song, which you're hearing right now, was by Atlanta musician and shitty dumbass Tyler Hobbs, aka Buckhead Shaman. Check out his Instagram at Buckhead Shaman to watch his new music video, My Yaya. Idiot. If you want to support the show, rate, review, subscribe, all that stuff on Apple Podcasts. It really does help. And follow us on Instagram at Dead Horse Podcast. We don't keep up with our Twitter presence. I promise we will one day when one of us feels like it. I don't know. I don't fucking know. You want to run our Twitter? You can. You want the login as a fun little Easter egg? You listen through the whole episode? All right. No, fine. No, for real. Here it is. The email is deadhorsecast@gmail.com, and the password is put.